Yes, hi, hello, and welcome inside this Tuesday edition of the show. Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. Glad you're with us. Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News is going to join us at 4:40. And if you think basketball is over, in a lot of ways, it is just kind of beginning because the transfer portal has opened, and with it, there are a lot of storylines from state schools, from national side of things, from former players of Ball State that are in there. So we'll dive into the transfer portal topic here at the start of the show and also get into that topic with Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News. As I told you, we would not speculate. We would only react to what is actually happening, because the logistics of trying to say, oh, X player should enter the transfer portal. By the way, it is, and I'm sure the rule's broken all the time, because, I mean, all you have to tell a player is, hey, you're not going to play here. You should probably enter the transfer portal. But technically, you're not supposed to do that. Now, I think you can get the writing on the wall if you have that conversation and say, hey, you're not going to play. I think the player, unless they really just want to be a part of the school and the program and all that stuff, is going to get the writing on the wall. Hey, I might need to go elsewhere. That is the only time that probably somebody is forced into the transfer portal. Other than that, it's kind of like, hey, I want to see what the better opportunity is out there. So you'll see a lot of mid-major, really good players, see what's out there. I mean, and ultimately, let's be clear about this whole situation. The whole situation is not the player's fault. It is not. This is an NCAA rule. This is an NCAA structure. So at the end of the day, if you have frustration about the new world of collegiate athletics, you can kind of thank the NCAA. I mean, you can. They decide when the portal opens. They decide when the portal closes. They decide how the structure works of how many times you can enter. So at the end of the day, you know, you can be all upset about that, but at the here's the deal, okay? The two things that are frustrating fans about collegiate athletics, one is directly part of the NCAA structure. The other is a result of what the NCAA did not do, and that's NIL. Jurisdiction went in place in the court system to allow NIL to happen because the NCAA resisted. And had the NCAA maybe taken that under their wing, we might have a totally different NIL structure than what we currently have. Which, again, the name says name, image, and likeness, but the actual execution of name, image, and likeness is not what has been intended. Okay, so again, it is going to be a lot of collegiate sports topics throughout the week because that's what we do. Yesterday, we got fired up about the draw. I still have had yet to have one person convince me of all the things we talked about yesterday that Indiana State should not be in. But the scheduling structure for mid-majors and their path to make it to an NCAA tournament is it's not impossible. It's that they're trying to force them to be perfect. Whereas the Power Fives can sit back and say, we don't have to do anything in our scheduling because we're going to automatically have 9 quad one games, 10 quad one games. Quad one, net, all this. I could say some choice words, but I'm not going to. All this collection, I could say garbage, you could say crap, I don't know. You have different terms than I do. But at the end of the day, this is all the stuff that we got to talk about. And it's real. It absolutely is. So we'll dive into all of those topics coming up. Before we get back to that, Ball State Women's Basketball has a game on Thursday at Worthen Arena in the WBIT tournament, which is the NCAA's version of the NIT in a way. I'm sure they don't want it described that way, but I guess I just did. 4 o'clock at Worthen Arena against Belmont, so this team gets to play more. And at the end of the day, you know, for all of the complaining that some fans have for collegiate athletics and the way it's changed and the way it's altered and the NIL and the transfer portal, you know, that is even more reason to applaud teams like Ball State Women's Basketball that could have very well sat around and said, well, we're not going to play in another tournament. Why would we deserve the NCAA tournament? You know what this tells me about this team, and it is the least surprising thing ever. They just flat out enjoy playing with one another. They just want to play basketball. Yes, they would love to be a part of the NCAA tournament, but I applaud those that want to go out there and play. Because as we've seen in men's basketball and some in women's basketball as well, the NIL and the transfer portal has also hurt these other tournaments. That, again, the NCAA tournament is 80% of the pie of why you love this month. But at the end of the day, there are some interest in NITs, and it's opportunity for fans to get engaged. It's opportunity for these players to play. But I'm afraid, just like the ancillary bowl games in college football, we're going to get to a point where these tournaments are going to change drastically around the NCAA tournament, and it's going to be a monopoly, and it's just going to be one tournament. So in order to maybe prevent that from happening, maybe applaud those that are doing it right and doing it in the way where they say, you know what, hey, we didn't make the NCAA tournament, but we still want to play. We still want to have another opportunity to get out there, and that's what it seems about this Ball State women's basketball team. So that absolutely deserves some applause. That deserves recognition. So anyway, they will have Belmont coming up and a home game coming at Worthen Arena. I love it. I think it's a lot of fun. It's in the middle of the day on Thursday, and I don't know if this is a gift to me. It certainly didn't do it for me. I don't even want to joke about that. But the fact it happens on Thursday, the first day of the NCAA tournament, the 4 o'clock hour, means that game will be here while, I'll just be honest, I'm going to be watching other games. It's going to be awesome. Going to be watching Ball State women's basketball, going to be watching the first round games in the NCAA tournament. I can't think of a better way to spend my Thursday. You know, I love doing this show. I love talking sports, but the fact of the matter is your eyes are going to be fixated on all of the basketball we have coming up this week, and you should. There's nothing I'm going to break down in this show at 4 o'clock on Thursday of the NCAA tournament in a home game for Ball State women's basketball that is going to just absolutely ooze with content. I got to be real and I got to be honest. And look, we all have an ego. Everybody does that's in whatever they do. But I can check my ego enough to say that day, nah. That day, not so much. Not so much. So anyway, we will get to Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News coming up. He'll join us around 4:40 on the program, a variety of topics, including Ball State women's basketball. And I want to ask him, because he and his team, I retweeted this, the questions to Brady Sowley about the tournament structure in the NCAA and how it hurts teams in the Mid-American Conference and everything. If you have not seen those comments from Brady Sowley, they could not be more spot on. I mean, they could not be more spot on about the problem we have when we get to the NCAA tournament side of things. The net is ridiculous. The quad one stuff is impossible for mid-majors to catch up. I mean, it is, and he said it in such more of an eloquent and non-emotional way. I mean, it was emotional, don't get me wrong, but he said it so perfectly that it should be distributed across all of college basketball the way that Brady Sowley talked about it. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was great, and I thought it was spot on, and it didn't have the bias that other coaches sometimes come out with it. Because sometimes you feel like, ah, hey, it's a coach yelling at clouds saying, oh my gosh, we don't deserve to get in. That's ridiculous. We had this, we had that. Because you hear that all the time, right? You hear it with the to be honest with you, I have no sympathy for the teams like Pittsburgh, the teams like Seton Hall, the teams like, oh, I don't know, Virginia gets in, but if they didn't get in, they'd be complaining. because they have ample opportunity to do whatever they need to do to get in. So if you're 18-14 and you lost that game that you should have won in February, shame on you. If you're in a Power 5 conference, in my opinion, you have zero excuse as to the reason you didn't get into the NCAA tournament. Now, I could complain for Indiana State, and I have every leg to stand on with that, because it absolutely favors the fifth or sixth ranked teams in the SEC, in the Big Ten, in the ACC. It does every year. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I really don't have sympathy for the Seton Halls, the St. John's, the Virginias, I don't have sympathy for them. I don't. I do for Indiana State, because what else are they supposed to do? It's insane. It really, really is. And something's got to change with it. It really does. Because it's an uneven playing field. It is. And you can't be convinced of anything other than that. All right, let's talk about the transfer portal here. There's a couple of players reportedly for Ball State that are in the transfer portal until they get confirmed by sources. And one of those might be Kyle Smedley. I'll let him decide to go down that road if he wants to when he joins us coming up here in a little bit. But these verbal commit accounts and some of these ancillary things that just pop up when the transfer portal happens, to be honest with you, I don't take those with a lot of confirmation. And, you know, I've told you before, there are certain stories I get confirmed because if I'm going to talk about it on the air, I want to have it confirmed so I know it is it's real, rather than assuming and then being wrong, because that's just not what we're about on this program. I don't think it's my job to confirm transfer portal players or not for the respective university. And if I don't do that, then I shouldn't talk about it as if it's fact. Okay? So I want you guys to know that as well as we talk about the transfer portal. I'm not going to be talking about specific players because, again, at the end of the day, what does it really accomplish? Okay? But the second thing is this, and I believe I saw this confirmed, and this is not related to Ball State University, but it has some ties. It has been reported out there among six players, I guess, with Indiana basketball that have entered the transfer portal, and one of those is former Ball State player Peyton Sparks, who, of course, entered the transfer portal from Ball State last year, went to Indiana. He's now in the transfer portal again. I do think that's noteworthy. Because, A, he's a player that played his high school basketball in this area, and he's a former Ball State player. I have no idea the connections, the want-to on either side to have a reunion of some sort. So, again, that is a story that certainly we will be following and seeing if there's anything there. You know, I remember last year bringing up the Zane Doughty situation, the freshman from Ben Davis, when there was a coaching change at Valparaiso, just kind of connecting the dots there, and it ultimately ended up being a deal. It ultimately ended up, you know, being a good fit for Ball State and a good fit for Zane Doughty, okay? So that has happened before. And also, Ball State, now with two different coaches, obviously, but Jerron Coleman played as a freshman for Ball State, then went to Missouri. That was under James Whitford, and then he came back in the first year with Michael Lewis as well. So it has happened before. A player leaves, goes somewhere else, and has come back again. And not saying there's anything in motion as far as that's concerned, but that is one of the things that is out there right now about Peyton Sparks entering the transfer portal. Okay, so wanted to throw that out there because that is a story that is out there. Okay, I have some real problems with the transfer portal, and this is number one. And by the way, let me reiterate this again that I just said a moment ago. Don't blame the player. Okay, don't blame the athletes, because the system, when the portal opens, there's only one time that I would have issue with the player, and it happened with a bench player at NC State. By the way, NC State just won the ACC tournament. They are in the NCAA tournament. As soon as the portal opened, one of their players on that team entered the transfer portal. That's a whole different ballgame. I don't understand that for a second. You're playing in the NCAA tournament, and you enter the transfer portal? I don't get it. That's one of the issues that I saw, and it's why I've never understood, and this happens in college football too, I've never understood why the portal opens when the season is still happening, okay? Because if we're looking at this as free agency for college athletics, and I put that in wild quotation marks, in big quotation marks, okay? If we're doing that, there is no other professional sport that does that either. So the NFL has free agency 4 weeks after the regulars or the postseason concludes, okay? Major League Baseball, their free agency really doesn't happen until December in a lot of ways. The NBA, the very same way. It's like 3 weeks after the NBA Finals. So why is college basketball, football, in a very different structure from a portal standpoint? Why is the portal opening up during the time where tournaments are happening? You know, who cares if it's the NCAA tournament? This affects NIT teams. This affects WBIT teams in the women's basketball side of things. Doesn't make sense. You know, I know the timeline has changed a lot, but man, doesn't it put a lot of teams that are still playing at a little bit of a disadvantage? I would think so. And then you can, I guess, protect against the NC State example that I just brought up with one of their players entering, and they're in the week of the NCAA tournament, yet he decides to enter the transfer portal. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. This might be transfer portal 101, but I don't remember the last time a player entered the transfer portal and still played for the team that he is trying to leave. So I'm just trying to shrug my shoulders there about I don't know if I've seen that happen. So the point of the matter is this. We've talked about the transfer portal for a couple of years now, okay? And it feels like the griping and the discussion about it is pretty commonplace across the board, okay? Across the board with when I say it or somebody in Alabama says it or somebody nationally says it, okay, it doesn't matter where it's located. Like, where is the regulation of the transfer portal? Where is it? There is none. You can enter every year if you want to. See what's out there, pull yourself back, and see what happens. You don't have to commit to anything. You're basically under scholarship for a year, and you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. And I'm not blaming the players. I'm just saying the structure and the execution of it are two very different want-tos. But all of this is happening, and we're going into the NCAA tournament. Now, for teams like a Ball State, men's basketball, like an Indiana basketball that isn't decided not to play in a tournament, you know, again, this is the newsworthy items that are out there because they can structure their roster based on the transfer portal right now. I'm just curious how if everybody just said, you know what, the portal's going to open the week after the NCAA tournament and all these NIT tournaments and BIT tournaments and CIT tournaments and whatever. By the way, those are all tournaments that exist. It'd be like collegiate basketball free agency starting in April. I don't know. I don't know if that's too much to do or not, but guess who this gets directed to? The NCAA. They have the control of this. They do. So again, for a Ball State right now, you can take advantage of it and have conversations, and that's your total focus right now of bringing in transfer portal players and figuring out what your roster is going to look like based on what you know, players of your own from your roster from the year before entering the transfer portal as well. So, in some ways, it could be an advantage for Ball State based on the current structure. Could be an advantage for those that are not playing in a postseason tournament, but it just doesn't feel very structured for the entirety of collegiate athletics. again, the coaches, the administration, all those different things know this better than I do. But I'm just throwing out all the things that you would think kind of need ironed out in a way. So thanks to those of you joining us on Facebook Live. It's very collegiate athletics oriented, and I guess that's what happens when we get this time to this time of the year. But man, oh man, I mean, the end of March is going to hit us, and we are going to have a lot of different things happening in the next several weeks. And I want to remind you of where we're at in the sports calendar, so you do not get, I guess, caught off guard. Because we're going to be in the NCAA tournament for the next 3 weeks. So we have first and second round this weekend, then Sweet 16, Elite Eight, then it's Final Four and Championship. I mean, this goes incredibly quickly. It really does. It goes very, very quickly. And so we'll see how it all plays out. But again, right after we get done with college basketball, there's something that's coming up that might catch you off guard, because not only have we not talked about it a ton, it really hasn't been talked about in general because of where this particular team is at here. So anyway, all right, we'll come back, talk more basketball in the calendar coming up in sports in Indiana after this. Yes, as always, presented by Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com. I was just perusing Facebook, and they get feedback all the time about how much people love what they get there. And oftentimes it's this. It's the fact that 90% of what's on the showroom floor is in stock for you 48 hours or less. But also the new styles and trends, the weather. Well, maybe this week is chilling down just a bit. You know, it was a week ago today. I was out on my deck and grilling. It's getting a little chillier, but pretty soon we'll get those 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s degree weather. The patio furniture, yes, Walls Furniture and Mattress can help you with that as well. Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com, as we will take your comments at MarkWMUN on Twitter. Been some good ones over the last couple of weeks, so keep it rolling. The interaction very much appreciated. By the way, I buried the reason why. I mentioned Ball State women's basketball having a game on Thursday, 4 o'clock. Again, that coverage can be heard right here on the Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. From start to finish this season, you've been able to hear all the exciting action of Ball State women's basketball here, and will be able to as well during their postseason run in the WBIT as they host the game at Worthen Arena, and will have the coverage here. 3:40 pregame coverage on Thursday, the tip time expected for 4 o'clock. And again, all here on the Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN, via the Ball State Radio Network. Should be exciting to see how all of that plays out. So, again, yesterday, this has been one of those weeks where it's like, man, you know what? The schedule's a little off kilter. And the reason why is this. You know, ever since middle of August through really last week, we have had high school broadcasts every single week. We have had coaches' shows nearly every single week. We have had a lot of local produced content, and sometimes that calendar just absolutely zooms by, and then you get to this week and you're like, wow. Kind of can take a little bit of a deep breath. And, of course, we will have high school coverage coming up next week as Wapahani heads to the 2A boys basketball state final. And then you realize, okay, today's March 19th, okay? We know what happens this week, next week, and then the following week for the Final Four. When you get to the Final Four, it's the weekend of the 5th, 6th, and 7th, and 8th. I guess the national championship game is on that Monday, the 8th. I'll never understand it, and I'll probably gripe about it on Monday, the 8th. So, you know, you have the 6th right there. Well, you get into the week of the 8th, and then you realize a couple of things. One, the NBA regular season's going to wind down, and we do have to talk some Pacers coming up here in a little bit. Not good as of late, and even more troublesome is the play of Tyrese Haliburton, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. But also, the following week, so the 19th and 20th, we're going to start getting into the NFL draft. Yeah, the NFL draft is going to occur coming up on April 25th and 27th. So I guess it's at the end of the month, but really, you've got a two-week lead-up to the NFL draft, and we really haven't even talked about needs and wants and thoughts for the Indianapolis Colts. And again, where they sit in the middle of the first round, could they be a potential train partner for a team trying to get one of those quarterbacks at, you know, the fourth or fifth best quarterbacks in the NFL draft if they start to fall or whatever? So there's a lot of conversation to be had, but then we sprint into that, and then all of a sudden we're in the month of May for the Indianapolis 500. I don't know how we got here, but we're here. And then June and July, you know, those are the summer days where we'll have some stuff to talk about. No doubt about it. There's always a topic of conversation. And I've got some exciting news about some things we're doing this summer that we'll get to you later on. But it kind of feels this way, right? When you get to the end of March, the calendar shifts in a very, very different way. There is less and less. Now, Ball State always has something going on. High school baseball and softball will occur, and we'll certainly talk a little bit about that. But the daily recap sports of things happening, because, of course, Indiana doesn't have a professional baseball franchise. You know, we'll see. I mean, the Pacers could make the playoffs. Looks like they're going to be slotted for the play-in at this point. They have about 3 weeks of the regular season left and certainly have some work to do. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But it is kind of amazing how quickly things kind of go by here. Pacers lost last night 108-103 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And there's problems. There's definitely some problems, and we'll dive in to that topic of conversation coming up here in a little bit. But I don't know if you guys were aware of that, because, again, a lot of this just kind of sneaks up on you. It really does. It sneaks up on you. So, anywho, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have a conversation about the Indiana Pacers. Kyle Smedley with us in about 10 minutes from now. It's the Power Talk of Muncie, WMUN. Yes, as always, brought to you by State Farm agent Jason May. Make sure you're getting all the discounts you deserve by calling Jason at 747-7100 today. Glad you're with us. Lots of collegiate athletics talk with Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News coming up here in a little bit, and we'll dive into that topic in a moment's notice. Pacers are not playing great right now. In their last 10 games, they are 5-5. Last night, they were beaten by the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it's not, you know, 5-5 ain't awful. I mean, Philadelphia's 5-5 in that stretch. So is Cleveland, who just beat you last night. The Philadelphia 76ers, who are right above you. You're a half game back of the sixth position in the Eastern Conference. Okay. So Pacers are 38-31. They haven't really gotten too many games above 500 since we last really spoke about them. So you're 69 games in, which means you have 13 to go. 13 to go. This is crunch time to see where you land in the play-in. Now, you are a half game from being the eighth seed. You are a half game from being the sixth seed. So you certainly have a lot to play for at this point. Where you sit, it's not impossible you could fall further down. I don't foresee you falling completely out of the playoff picture, okay? But you could also improve your position. You're only 2.5 back of Orlando at 5. You're going to need some help to get there, okay? But it really doesn't even have anything to do with the standings at this point. It has everything to do with what's going on with Tyrese Haliburton. He is 6-36 from 3 in his last 5 games. He has not played well. He has not shot the ball efficiently. And, you know, we've talked about this, and oftentimes it may go in one ear and out the other when things are going very, very well, because you just look at the stat line, oh my gosh, he's playing so well. And I remember saying this, not to give myself credit, but to give myself credit. Here we go. Okay. The shot making for Tyrese Haliburton also opens up the playmaking opportunities for him. He is a really, really good passer. He's a really, really good point guard, setting things up for others. But that playmaking ability takes a massive hit when you aren't making shots. Because the defense has to gamble. Is he going to play make? Is he going to make a shot? And by the way, they can't leave him open because he's going to make the shot. It's that gamble. And it feels like when you don't make that shot, the rest of your game suffers. And, you know, Tyrese Haliburton hasn't exactly played his best basketball here as of late, and it feels like there's a lot going on between the ears. And I wouldn't, you know, make it such a concern that you're worrying if the Pacers made the right decision at a superstar. That's taking it too far. I mean, every player has an opportunity to go through something like this. And I say opportunity. The opportunity is you go through it and you get out of it. That's the opportunity. But it's a little troublesome at this time of the year when you are battling for playoff positioning as well. So at the end of the day, that is extremely concerning for the Indiana Pacers, because they go as he goes. And we know that very, 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 very well. For the Indiana Pacers. So something to monitor there. Now, when you look at the standings, again, being a half game back of sixth, a half game back of eighth, I mean, you're right there smack dab in the middle at seven. I wouldn't want this team to play in the play-in against teams like the Heat, the Bulls, the Hawks. They've done so much better against teams near the top than they have towards the middle of the conference. So at the end of the day, as strange as that sounds, that might be the best recipe for the Indiana Pacers. But we'll see how it all plays out. All right, when we come back, we're going to get back to the college athletics conversation with Kyle Smedley, Ball State Daily News. He's with us after this. As always, brought to you in part by Sheriff Goslin Roofing, your visitor. Protect your family. Make sure you're doing all you can to protect them. Sheriff Goslin Roofing has been helping families for generations. Remember to call Pete Dahlia or look them up at worryfreeroof.com. It is wacky around college athletics right now. It certainly is. No question about it. Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News. Just like we are, trying to make sense of all of this. So, you know, we have the transfer portal openings. So, like, this is the craziness of it all. It's whose players are going to enter, who are the players from other teams that enter that you're interested in, and the dominoes that fall. It's wacky, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, you and I were just talking right before we went on the air. Just, you have all these, you know, claims that people have entered the transfer portal. And, you know, a lot of times the player will announce it on their own social media, but other times there will be outlets that just report it. And you check the athlete's social media, they haven't said anything. Obviously the team's not going to say anything. And so you wonder if it's legitimate or not. So like I said, right before I got on the air, you know, you try to take all this with a grain of salt. And as Ball State men's basketball learned, you never know when a player is going to enter the portal. I mean, a guy like Boogie Coleman last year entered at the very last minute, and you got to scramble to fill a roster spot.
So, again, like you had said, and it's kind of the mantra we've taken on this program as well, because there are so many accounts saying such and such has entered, this player's entered, that sort, it can get you can get that information wrong very quickly, and players have to confirm whether they're in, whether they're not, all those different things. How do you feel about the way this roster is going to look here in the next couple of weeks, Kyle?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, the only two, as far as I know, that I know have entered the transfer portal so far is Trent Middleton Jr., who did start a handful of games for this team as a freshman last year, and Makai Bell. He played very little last year. He had been with the program for 2 years. A lot of people remember him with a highlight reel dunk early on in the season. Those are the only two that I've heard so far. I wouldn't be surprised if other members of the team enter the transfer portal. And that's just me purely just saying that because I don't have any inkling or anything like that of anybody potentially entering, but you just never know. And two just seems like a very little amount. Now, I did just see on Twitter by multiple sources, although I haven't seen it confirmed by the person himself, but I did see that Peyton Sparks from IU, who was formerly at Ball State, has entered the transfer portal. Obviously, you know, I'd like to get it confirmed by him, but it does look like he's entered. I've seen some discourse already on whether, you know, should Ball State look back into bringing him back. I mean, for me, you know, this is just a hypothetical, but I say why wouldn't you look back into it? I mean, he was an all-MAC player for Ball State when he was there. He didn't play well at IU, but Ball State certainly can't go wrong with adding another big. No disrespect to Ben Hendricks or Zane Dowdy, but they didn't have a whole lot of big depth, especially with Zane hurt. And adding a former all-MAC guy would never hurt. But, again, you just never know what this team's going to look like. They still got to go get high school recruits, I'm sure.
Right.
Transfer portal. I would say it's too early to tell, but it is fun to speculate.
It's Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News, and yeah, it's basically college athletics free agency in a lot of ways. I mean, that's what this ultimately has kind of become. Have you ever gotten perspective on why the portal window opens when it does? Because, you know, many have speculated and said, you know, the NIL and the transfer portal have ultimately made it where it's kind of free agency, as I alluded to a moment ago. So if you're following that model and it is what it is, and again, for those that want to follow this, this isn't changing anytime soon. So if the window opens, unlike any other quote-unquote free agency, which in the NFL it's 3 weeks after the season, in the Major League Baseball it's the same thing, yada, yada. Why does the portal open when it does? Have you ever gotten perspective on that?
I don't know. I'm not entirely sure. For me, what I would do is I think the portal should be open once a team's season is over. So for Ball State, I think the portal probably should just open – you know, this year it would have been right after that loss to Bowling Green that eliminated him from the season. Now, if you're a team like, let's say, Akron in the MAC, who's in the NCAA tournament, their portal, in my opinion, shouldn't even be open yet until their season's over. I feel like that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
And normally, you know, a player like that who's still playing isn't going to announce that he or she or they have entered the portal until their season's over anyway. But it makes more sense to have it uniform rather than some teams are still playing, but technically the transfer portal is open.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it. I saw it. It might not even be a primary player, but an NC State player entered the transfer portal yesterday. They're playing in the NCAA tournament, and it's kind of like
– exactly.
It like you said, the uniformity of kind of the structure just is certainly not there. It's Kyle Smedley from the Ball State Daily News. I want to go back to Friday. You and your team covered Ball State women's basketball, and one of your colleagues asked a question to Coach about asking should Ball State be in the NCAA tournament, and I've retweeted that a couple of times because I thought the comments were outstanding. What were your thoughts kind of when it was explained by Coach Sally about the whole system? And honestly, I feel like that should be a speech that should be circulated around the country because it was very well said.
Oh, it was great. And I'll give a shout out to Caleb Zuffer, who was on the beat for Ball State women's basketball all season. And we were talking on the way up to Cleveland before the tournament even started. And he just said, you know, if this Ball State team loses, they're probably not going to make the NCAA tournament because the MAC just isn't a two-bid league, fair or unfair. That's just how it is. And he was just saying on the way up, he was like, if this team loses, I got to ask Brady that question, because we have known how Brady has felt about this for a couple years now. He just has never really said it on that platform or at that much at length either. And you know, I completely agree with what he's saying. I didn't even know, and it's shame on me for not knowing. I didn't even know that before he said it, that women's basketball, that selection committee doesn't even operate on quads like the men's side does. And that is beyond me. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, why wouldn't you want to have equal selection committee rules for men's and women's basketball, or men's or women's any sport? You look at a team like Ball State, or even Toledo for that matter, who wins between 26 and 28 or 29 games and loses, you know, less than seven. It's insulting when those teams can't make the NCAA tournament if they're not allowed, or if they're eliminated from their own conference tournament. And then you look at a team like, Michigan, who loses to Toledo in the regular season by 20 points, and they make the NCAA tournament as a 9 seed,
right?
Just because they had a decent Big Ten record. Brady said it all. I can't say it any better than he did. But you look at these, you know, these Power Five schools who make the tournament because they get 6 or 7 conference wins in a good conference. But then again, a team like Ball State, who their only losses on the season were to the MAC champion, the regular season MAC champion, Notre Dame, UConn, and a 1-possession loss to Northern Illinois, and that's it. And they can't make the tournament. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and my fear, Kyle, and we're running out of time here, and I said it yesterday about Indiana State and Ball State, kind of the same conversation. It's going to get to the point where these Power Fives say, why would we schedule any non-conference matchups with teams like Ball State? We don't have to, because in the men's side, they're going to be guaranteed in the Big Ten, ACC, SEC to have 10 quad one games, and that's going to decide whether they get in or not, whether they finish second or first in the conference or fifth or sixth. If they're 5-1 in quad one games, who cares? And so that's going to provide another problem for the mid-majors, is they're going to be locked out of scheduling these because the Power Fives, and I don't blame the Power Fives at all. If you're in that situation, why would you schedule those? Makes no sense for them.
Exactly. No, I agree. And, you know, I know we're running short on time, so I'll keep this quick. And I know my opinion doesn't amount to much anyway, but the solution is not to expand the field, in my opinion.
No.
I've seen people have been saying, well, if these schools are going to complain, let's just expand the field. That's not the solution. The solution is to, I guess, get better as a selection committee, and there's no really better way to put it.
Yeah. I've circulated that those comments. It was good questions by you and your team to kind of, you know, when a subject kind of brings up a topic, you want to dig a little deeper to really get the context. And I thought Brady Sally did an amazing job in presenting it. And, of course, your questions there. It's Kyle Smedley, Ball State Daily News. Man, we could do a whole show on this, Kyle. there's so much going on. But we look forward to having you on pretty frequently as the transfer portal goes on. Thanks, my friend. We'll follow your work and talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for letting me ramble. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Kyle should know that's what this show sometimes ends up being, is a ramble, a rant. And, man, we've had some good ones over the last couple of weeks, I'll tell you, and I think they've been pretty timely as well. So big thanks to Kyle for joining us. Excellent work by him. Thanks to all those of you for joining us today. We are back with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, 4 o'clock on the Talk of Muncie WMU, and have a good evening.